So the question for you is, and the question for the panel, is how can we achieve that and how can we resolve other housing issues? David has been joined by two other eminent speakers, and you can throw anything at them. They've been together, they've been at six-party conferences in the last couple of weeks, so they're really here for light relief, and they're quite able to deal with the issues that we're about to suggest they do. Now, first of all, on our... in the middle, Matt. Matt Downey, who is currently Director of Policy and External Affairs at Crisis. All of you will know of Crisis. Crisis has 20,000 followers on Twitter, by the way, which is slightly more than the Fed. There's a bit of work to do there, David. 17,000. I'm obsessed with this now, but you've got more than the Institute. The Institute of Housing. Matt has recently joined the sector, so he brings a nice mixture of external perspective and expertise gained in crisis. Before this, you were head of policy and campaigns at Action for Children. So welcome to you. Thank you for joining us. And on the left is Keith House. Keith is, one of his lives is leader of Eastleigh Borough Council, but he is also, more importantly for this particular debate, as it says up there, co-chair of the coalition's, the government's current review into supply of housing by local authorities. Although I know, having spoken to you a few times recently, you've gone well beyond that brief, I think, in doing it. Just in case you're asking yourselves, and I will stop in a minute, David made a brief reference to the Lyons Review, which is a similar review being carried out by the Labour Party at the moment. We did ask Sir Michael Lyons if he could join us a little while ago, and he very politely declined, I think reluctantly, but he felt he couldn't because the report is yet to be published. However, we're delighted with the three panellists we have got. We have the mics at the back, which are roving. We have me roving around here. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to put up your hands, say who you are, state your question, even perhaps your opinion briefly. But before I do, because Keith in particular has been leading the review, the government's review, I was wondering, Keith, whether you would like to say anything in response to what David said, but in particular, you're coming close to publication too?
We certainly are. Thanks so much, Peter. I think collective disgrace was the phrase I wrote down from David, and I think I'd agree, actually. 9 months into a review of what's happening around the country on housing supply and where local authorities sit in this space, I've actually been shocked along the way at some of the things that I've discovered, some of the things that are hidden beneath the surface. And if we're thinking about David's baby boomers' grandchildren, broadly where we are, one thing that's actually worse, much harder to deal with than the generation that he was initially talking about, is that today, a child born today, a girl at least, not a boy necessarily, but a girl born today has a 50-50 chance of reaching 100. We will have 1,000 times more centenarians in 50 years' time than we have now. So that says a lot about some of the big changes that are happening in what's going on out there. We know that for the last 30-plus years, we have failed to meet housing need. We know that there is a common space now in the political system, which is the first time this has happened in a generation or more, where each of the main political parties is saying, we need to build more. They may disagree on the numbers, and let's not worry too much about whether it's 200, 220, 250, or even 300,000. But there's a common space that says, we need to build more. Yet, last year, we built less than 120,000 homes. Yet last year, whilst we issued more planning permissions, 170,000 units received an outline planning permission last year, that's still nowhere near the number we need to build if we're going to meet housing need. And what's worse than that is that because of the complexities of the planning system, every year for the last 10 years, it has taken a month longer from the grant of planning permission to the completion of a home. We've made life very complicated for ourselves. There's a lot of things that we need to think about in this space. One thing that's really struck me and struck Natalie as my co-lead on the review is actually leadership from all of us here. It's not a party political thing. Whether we're local authority leaders, local authority senior officers, whether we're involved in housing through a variety of other routes, we are the ones who've got the ability to make this happen and make change happen. We have, as David again has said, seen a lot of initiatives from the political parties over the recent weeks and months. We really need to put them all together and say that all of these are part of the solution when combined. They're not individually the answer. We've had suggestions around 100,000 extra new homes for young families, but without any contribution towards affordable housing. We've had suggestions of garden cities. We've had suggestions of releasing more public land. Well, all these are part of the mix, but unless we're prepared to both look at urban land with a bit more enthusiasm and increase, also look seriously at density issues with good design, unless we're prepared to look at some of these scruffy greenbelt sites that really don't contribute anything to the long-term needs for the area, if we're not prepared to look at all of those things and the urban edge extensions along the way, we're not going to get anywhere near meeting the housing need for the future. So public land, leadership, for local authorities, that means looking more laterally at the way of doing things. So we've seen increasingly the number of joint ventures, often between local authorities and housing associations, between local authorities and developers. All of these have got to be part of the mix. We do need some more sticks as well as some carrots in the system. One thing which is clearly a problem is there's no transparency in almost any of the stuff that goes on at the moment. Government does not know, for example, what's in your housing market assessments because it doesn't collect the data. And even if it did collect the data and added it up, it would be adding apples and pears because you all use different methodologies. We don't even know what we're planning, let alone what we're building or where or how. So there are massive gaps that we need to address. Ultimately, it is this point about leadership. Are we committed to meeting housing need for the future? If the collective answer is yes, which I hope it is, then we stand a fighting chance of getting there. But we're a long way off that at the moment. And when Lyons reports later this month, when my review reports later in the year, alongside the autumn statement, hopefully, we should start to see some more of these bits of the jigsaw come together. But it'll only work if we're all prepared to sign up to doing things quite radically differently for the future. Otherwise, we're simply not going to meet that housing need. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Matt, do you want to keep your powder dry for now? All right, okay. I will now open it up to you. Can I see at least one hand, and preferably more? There are two down here, if you'd like to both come down. And say who you are and what you do, but not much more than that. Go ahead.
I'm Ian Tate. I'm a Winchester City Councillor and the portfolio holder for Housing Services. And I'm just interested in comments that both David Orr and Keith House has said. And our issues of political leadership, I am wholeheartedly in the pro-development field and on the City Council. I think my position in Winchester is fairly well known. And so I suppose the question I've got, how can we get that political leadership to support delivering housing? And I look at the politics in Winchester, and perhaps I'm in a fairly small minority, but we had a housing development in Winchester of 2,000 houses. I was the only councillor who voted for it. I'm now one of the longest serving councillors on Winchester City Council, and I make my position about being pro-development and affordable housing as clear as I possibly can do. But I don't want to say, I'd hate to use the term cowardice amongst political figures, but I believe there is a great deal of cowardice. People, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And how do you convince them? I don't want to be critical of my own political leader. I'm a Conservative. But it's great to have all the political rhetoric of saying we're going to deliver more houses. But it's got to be site-specific. And I'm afraid when you're talking about concrete over at the countryside, I almost feel that I'm in that small group who would say, let's just do that.
Okay. I knew you were coming to an end, but I just encouraged you. Can I just one point, whether it's Winchester or New Forest or Southampton or whatever, I want to keep the conversation generalist. So the issue is about how do we get political awareness. But before can we take another question as well so that we can bunch them up a bit?
Thank you. Jackie Porter, County Councillor in Hampshire County Council. And I was at one of the party conferences, so I know how huge the emphasis was on housing. Good. And really how bad the issue was for generation rent. A slightly amusing story. I went for our first mortgage. I'm probably about the same age as you, and we were told we were buying too big and it was above our station and we needed to go smaller. Come back in 6 months' time. And that was by a building society and by a man who actually felt he knew us. So actually that's one of the things I think we've really, getting a mortgage has got a very bad press in the early 2000s.